Today on The Journey.
Reminisce about the past. It's always fun and exciting to think about the past as you grow older in your life, to reminisce about the great times that God has given you, about your kids, about experiences.
Remember the happy abandon you and your partner experienced as a young couple? The exhilarating activities, friendship, and laughter that bound your souls together? Well, today, Ron Moore examines the characteristics of that bond and how you can recapture that joyful connection all over again. Also, we're offering for a donation of any amount Ron's booklet called In the Beginning, A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's available at ronmoore.org, and I'll have more about it later in the broadcast. Now here's Ron with the message, Let's Have Fun on The Journey.
We're going to talk about developing intimacy, friendship, fun, and faith. We'll look at friendship in this area, one soul in two bodies, and we'll talk about what that means. We'll see the importance of friendship. We'll look at fun, the power of laughter in a marriage. One of the first things many times that goes in a marriage relationship is the aspect of having fun together, the things you did to court each other and attract each other you stopped doing after you're married. And then faith, why it's important to demonstrate and share your faith together. So we'll be doing those three things. Now here's the statement. This comes from Fighting for Your Marriage. A major desire that couples have is for their partner to be a friend. In one study conducted with couples in all stages of the marriage relationship, couples were asked to rank a list of possible goals for the marriage. The single most important goal listed was to have a friend in one's partner. In another study aimed at determining why singles wanted to get married, 84% described friendship as the primary reason. This should not be surprising since the essence of marriage is to meet man's need for companionship and defeat loneliness. Researchers note that many divorced couples say in the process of being divorced, they feel like, even though they're going through this, they feel like they have lost their best friend. This whole thing of friendship throughout your marriage is critical. Critical not only to have, but to maintain. So let's look at real quick, characteristics of friendship. One, friend is loyal. Someone said it. Man, here's someone you can be with the rest of your life. They're not going to move out of town. Scripture says, Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. So right here, we go through some challenging times and some exciting times. Some mountaintop things and some valley things. And all those things, experiences in life, develop the friendship. Proverbs 18, 24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And since some obviously apply that to Christ in the New Testament. Friends share common interests. There were some things that you did as a couple before you got married, a recreation, a hobby, some common interest, and you may or may not be doing that now. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but it's important that you continue the common interest. Friend gives good, honest counsel. You can be vulnerable in front of your spouse, and they're going to see you for better or worse. And if they really care about you, they're going to give you good, honest counsel about what you're doing. I always tell Lori, don't comment on the sermons until Monday because I'm a little tender after I get home. People could say 15 times, good or bad, but I'm going to listen to her. Her words are going to carry more weight. And not only that, but other areas of life, obviously. Good counsel. Proverbs 27, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from earnest counsel. And then Proverbs 27, 6, words from a friend can be trusted, an enemy multiplies kisses. So an enemy is going to tell you what they think you want to hear or what they want you to hear. They're going to say things to you so that you will have a perception of them. But a friend can be trusted. They're going to tell you what you need to hear. Marital friendship is partnership and intimacy. Song of Solomon 5:16, his mouth is sweetness itself. It is altogether lovely. This is my lover. This is my friend. And so it's interesting in the Song of Solomon, not only is he or she a lover, the sexual intimacy, but also a friend. When a friend hurts you, it hurts. So when you have a marriage relationship and you hurt each other, there's a deep pain. That's why separation and divorce cause such a deep, deep pain, because you've been vulnerable, you've trusted, you put your life on the line with that person, and then there's a separation, and it's extremely painful. your friends outside of marriage affects your friendship in marriage. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 28, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. So who you hang out with is going to affect your friendship in marriage. We talk about what you should or shouldn't share with a parent, right? So if my daughter would come to me and she has a problem with her husband, if I'm doing what I should be doing that day, I should tell her, look, I love you, but I'm not going to discuss that with you. You got to talk to him about that because I'm not going to be objective in this thing. So we talk often about, particularly in premarital, don't go to your parents to deal with marital situations. How important is that regarding your friendships that you have? Do you think you should discuss marital situations with a friend? You're never going to share anything that's going to embarrass your spouse if they knew you shared that. So you've got to draw some lines here. You're never going to share any intimate details. And you've got to realize that 95% of people you talk to will agree with what you say. So if you go to someone and you say, I'm really struggling, I really feel this way, I've found that most people will agree with you and encourage you in the route that you're feeling. It'll be a unique friend, a good friend, who will say, time out, man, you are way off base here. So I think when it comes to friendships and sharing some things, you got to be extremely careful what you are sharing, how you are sharing it, and you can't do anything that's going to break that solid trust and vulnerability and intimacy and a deep, deep friendship that cannot be matched anywhere else with someone not in that relationship. I think you got to be extremely careful on that one. And again, when you're a friend in a situation, now if you're telling a guy to go to counsel, that's great advice. A lot of times in a situation, I have talked to the wife and she's described the situation and I was convinced that her husband was like Satan incarnate. And then I talked to the man and I wasn't so sure the opposite was true. It depends on the perspective that you get. The only effective counseling is when a husband and wife are together. It's impossible to counsel separately. So my point is, as a friend, you're a gatekeeper. So you can stop a person from saying what you don't want to hear or what they don't need to say. And you got to be careful that you don't just agree with them just because they're your friend. And that's going to be the tendency of most people. So I think you got to be careful in that area. All right? The investment of friendship yields a good return. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, two are better than one because they have a good return on their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And again, we talked about earlier that third strand, of course, is Christ in our marriage. Two are better than one. The investment of friendship yields a good return. I'll never forget years ago when we were going through a very challenging time here. The senior pastor had just left and was being asked to stay. And there was going to be a congregational vote. And when you're in a church situation, if it's 51-49, you don't stay. It's a bad situation. So I had in my mind a very high percentage that it had to be before we would stay. And I remember Lori coming in and just saying, you know, and I was talking about it, thinking about it, you know, the meeting's coming up, there's all kinds of other stuff going on at that time. And I remember her saying, you know, don't worry about it. If they ask us to stay, we'll all stay. If it doesn't work, we'll all go with you. We're going to be together no matter what. And the encouragement that that gave me, it was great. It was just like a relief. I don't have to worry about this. They're not going to stay here and I have to leave by myself. They're all going to go with me. That's encouraging. And so when you have that investment in a friendship and a relationship, man, that's just a continual encouragement to each other. All right. So what is friendship? Aristotle said, a single soul dwelling in two bodies. Single soul dwelling in two bodies. I love that definition of friendship. Another person has used the word kindred spirit. Friendship provides support, companionship, someone to be open and honest with, accountability, enjoyment and tasks done together, protection. Friendship in a marriage must be maintained and protected. Friendship does not authorize partners to say hurtful things to their mates. One author writes, "The nearer you come into a relationship with a person, the more necessary do tact and courtesy become." And often, when we're open and we're vulnerable and our guard is down, we'll say more hurtful things to those we love the most than we would to a total stranger. And I think it's extremely important that you got to protect that friendship as well. All right, let's look at this. Developing friendship, plan for the future. One of the reasons we have you write a mission statement is to plan for the future, to think out 5 years, 10 years. Determine your mission. Reminisce about the past. It's always fun and exciting to think about the past as you grow older in your life, to reminisce about the great times that God has given you, about your kids, about experiences. Share your dreams. You know, here's an individual that you can share your dreams with, and they're not going to think you're crazy. They aspire to support you in your dreams, or should. Be disarmingly honest. Again, here's someone you can be honest with, how you feel, and they accept you anyway. And do relaxing things together. Enjoy the things that God has allowed you to do. Share aspects of yourself that are precious and vulnerable. Share your fears. Be open with each other. Plan a weekend retreat and continue the weekly meetings. One of the things that we do is, marriage enrichment is not brain surgery. There's just these simple things that you do. And the date nights and the weekly meetings and those things are things that you need to continue to do to develop and enhance your friendship. Fun, power of laughter. All right, let's think about this. This comes from, again, from Fighting for Your Marriage. Among all the variables, the amount of fun partners had together emerged as the strongest factor in understanding their overall marital happiness. I'm going to read that again. Among all the variables, the amount of fun partners had together emerged as the strongest factor in understanding the overall marital happiness. That's not to say that other things weren't going on in these relationships, but good relationships become great when you're preserving both the quantity and quality of your fun times together. A lot of people get great enjoyment going to movies together and then discussing those and really interacting that way. Lori and I have started doing some hiking together. I was never into it. And I thought, you know, hiking is like, you know, taking a walk in the woods. How fun is that? But we went to a place that had some rocks and some pretty cool stuff, and that was fun. But watching a movie late at night when the kids are finally in bed, that's fun as well. If I stay awake to do that. So yeah, that's watching Lost is our new thing. We got through season one, and so we've got three seasons to catch up on. Okay, discuss a strategy for fun times together. Researchers say that if you're not going to have fun together, your disconnection is going to take place, and the crevice will grow and grow and grow. And on the other side of that, one of the most bonding things you can do together is to have fun, to laugh and enjoy an event together, an activity together, whatever that is. So discuss a strategy for fun times to occur. So Jeremy and Leslie are saying, okay, we're different. We may not like the same things, but we're going to work to find something that we do like and that we do enjoy. All right? Plan times that are purposed to have fun. Make certain that you are going to go do this, not to get a task completed, but to have fun in doing it. Develop a healthy philosophy of play. Do not compete in unhealthy ways. Some couples who play tennis together or golf together can get very competitive, which is a lot of fun for some, but not the other. Don't let leisure become work. And again, that's always a challenge. A lot of studies out about how hobbies when they become real hobbies, lose their fun because they're too much like work. And a lot of people can't draw that line between, this is just play, this is just a hobby, I don't have to get it all done tonight, I don't have to get it done this week, we're having fun doing it. So you guys got to work on that. All right. Faith, a cord of three strands. Ecclesiastes 4:12, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We've talked about friendship, we've talked about fun, let's talk about doing things together regarding your faith. And again, these are critical things. Developing spiritual intimacy. See, first of all, you got to begin with a personal relationship with Christ. You have to make sure that you're on the same page when it comes to Christ, but you got to begin with a personal relationship with Christ. We will not marry individuals unless both of them have a personal relationship with Christ. We're not going to stand and endorse a marriage unless we know that they're on this same footing when it comes to Christ. Developing individually as a follower of Christ. Before you can develop together, you have to develop individually. Men, a lot of times what happens in a church is women grow faster than men. And the guys don't keep up. And that brings great stress into a marriage. And so when you think about the thing that should be uniting you, now becomes a stress element, you got a bad deal going on. So much so that sometimes a husband will resent his wife's spiritual growth. And there are a lot of issues regarding this in a church. So you got to be growing together. The five essentials we talk about here, being in the Word, being a worshiper, connecting with others, serving, sharing. Again, very important in your spiritual growth. You hear that a lot. Praying together. We think it's important that you pray together. 1995 National Survey commissioned by Family Life discovered that couples who pray together frequently, at least three times per week, have a higher level of mutual satisfaction than those who do not. And that's like kind of a duh. If you are praying together and you're opening up your heart together, it's so important to do that. That's one of the reasons we have talked about devotions and stuff together. Why do you think, we talked about this, I think, at the beginning. Why do you think most couples don't pray together? 95% of Christian couples don't pray together, according to statistics. 95% of couples don't pray together. Why not? Very vulnerable. Probably the most vulnerable place you could be. Before God, who knows everything, and your spouse, who knows the next everything. Different expectations sometimes. What we're going to get out of prayer, what we're going to get out of devotional time together. Prayer is disarming. We've talked about that. Spiritual warfare. Satan does not want you to pray. Different levels of spiritual maturity. So there are different expectations going into the prayer time. And then not a priority is one aspect. One thing that we talk about in here, if you can't pray together and if you've not developed that as a habit and you're not comfortable doing that, then pray silently together and then close by just praying one sentence aloud and then close the prayer. So just pray silently together. Write out your prayers and share them with each other. That's one thing that you could do. Again, it's not where you want to end up, but it's a great start. And in time, develop the discipline of being vulnerable in prayer with each other. Have devotions together, worship together. It's critical that you worship together. Here, if you are serving and it means that the husband has to go to service, one service while the wife is serving and the wife goes to one service while the husband is serving, just stop that. Whatever you're doing, get out of that. You need to be in worship together. You don't need to be one in and one out. And again, worship is more than just singing on a Sunday morning or going to a service. But that corporate worship is critical. We also encourage you to serve together. Find an area where you can serve together, whether it's teaching or behind the scenes or even up front. Find an area where you can serve together. Some of the most fun times Lori and I have had in our marriage relationship have been those times when we served together. Our first church we were ever at in Dallas, we were the nursery coordinators. We didn't have a very big nursery, but we were the nursery coordinators, and we still laugh about some of the things that took place while we were the nursery coordinators. That was a fun time for us to grow in our faith, to do something together, and to serve the Lord as well. So find a place that you really enjoy and do it together. I don't think there's anything like serving together, and we encourage you to do that. Take communion together. I know, you know, when it comes to church, everyone has a preference as to how you do things, but one of the things I've really liked about going up front to take communion is that I've seen so many times where families will gather off in a corner of the worship center and pray together and take communion together. And that's pretty cool. Now, you can do that in a row, but it's pretty cool when they get up together, they go, they get the elements, and they go off in a corner and pray together. Taking communion together is very, very important. Baptism. If you've not been baptized, we encourage you to do that. It's always cool when couples are baptized together. Again, here at the chapel, we believe in a believer's baptism. You are baptized after you've become a Christian. That allows the whole congregation to see your step of faith. If you've not been baptized, we encourage you to do that. Again, it's not a nice thing to do. It's in obedience to Christ and His command.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Before that, we want you to know about his booklet, In the Beginning, A Biblical View of Sexuality. Many, both inside and outside the church, fail to realize that sex was designed by God, a beautiful gift to His creation. He meant it as an expression of love and for our enjoyment, but only when expressed as He intended. Sadly, our culture has distorted that intention. In this booklet, Ron counters that influence with a biblical worldview anchored in creation, the fall, and redemption. In the Beginning, A Biblical View of Sexuality is yours for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Sex is God's idea. He ordained it, and He designed it. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Now we've said that one flesh is emotional, it is spiritual, it is mental, and it's also physical. And that act of physical one-fleshness is the act that demonstrates the oneness of a husband and wife. Now, I want us to understand that God designed not only the one-flesh product, but He also designed the one-flesh process. Sexuality is the product. Sensuality is the process. The major complaint of most women regarding sexual relation is that their husband is more occupied with the mechanics of sex, ignoring sensuality. Again, the way men are wired, normally more interested in the product than the process. The way women are wired, as interested in the process as the product. Men primarily give intimacy during foreplay and receive intimacy during intercourse. Women experience intimacy throughout the process, touching, sharing, hugging, communicating. So you can see that even as men and women communicate physically, there are some different expectations and different experiences that come from that. According to some studies, men have a biological need for regular sexual release every 48 to 72 hours. And we'll see later that when there is a need for that that is deprived, then a lot of wrong feelings can occur. And when that need is communicated or demonstrated without the intimacy part, a lot of bitterness can occur.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And remember to order your free copy of Ron's booklet, In the Beginning, A Biblical View of Sexuality. In its pages, you'll learn how to enjoy the gift of sex in marriage, resist temptation, and recover from sexual sin. In the beginning, a biblical view of sexuality is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.